Welcome to our second sermon in our sermon series entitled Amazing Grace. Today's sermon title, Saved by Grace. Open your Bible to Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are gracious. You saved us by your inexplicable commitment to treat us better than we deserve. Grant us clarity of understanding. Infuse new life into our souls. Awaken our spiritual nature. Give us the gift of salvation. Then guide us into the good works that you intended for us to accomplish. Remind your followers of your amazing grace. Refresh our meditations of your significant works in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Franz Kafka was kind of an odd guy. Okay, he wasn't kind of odd, he was real odd. But he wrote some great pieces of literature. And one of the stories he wrote is called Metamorphosis. And the story Metamorphosis is about a man named Gregor Samsa. Gregor was a salesman who was doing very, very, very well in sales and supporting his mom and dad and his sister. And one morning, during the night, he transformed from a salesman into a cockroach. I know what some of you are saying, I'm not surprised. Let's go a little easy, could we? And the rest of the story is about him trying to adapt to his new reality. And I won't tell you how the story ends because you might read it. Shocking. And so every one of the literary critics, they try to figure out what is Kafka's meaning? What's he saying? You go to bed one night, a person, you wake up the next morning, a vicious bug. Some of the literary critics say that Gregor that night just became his authentic self. He always was a cockroach, and that night he just became what he really was. I want to read it a little different than that. I want to read it as Gregor let life make him something he didn't really want to be. He hated his job. He hated what his life had become. And I think Kafka's saying, if you're not careful, life will transform you into something you don't want to be. Christianity says God wants to do the opposite. He wants to transform you into something way beyond whatever you dreamed you could be. And so we're left with this tension. If I'm not careful, life is going to make me into something I don't want to be. And some of you know how powerful that is. Life has pushed you and shoved you. It's squeezed you. And you look at yourself and say, this is not what I dreamed of being. On the other hand, We have this God of amazing grace who says, I am greater than the world, and I'm capable of helping you to become something much more grand than you ever imagined. So when I hear that, I say to God, how exactly do you do that? How exactly do you save me from the world transforming me into something I don't want to be? And beyond that, how do you make me someone better than I ever imagined I could be? And providentially, God left us an answer to that question in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 8. And this is what he said to them. For by grace, you are the ones who have already been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. What do we mean by the word salvation? Every church uses it. But I want to be real specific about our definition. When I talk about God saving us, what exactly do I mean by that? Well, the first thing I mean is, until God does something in my soul, my spiritual awareness is dead. That's why Paul says, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, has he made alive in Christ Jesus. Do you see? So before I am aware that God is working in me, he brings to life my spiritual awareness. I become spiritually aware in ways that I hadn't been before in my life. That is the beginning of salvation. My spiritual awareness is brought to life. The second thing it means is when I become spiritually aware, I become intensely confronted by the fact that I am someone who doesn't live up to even what I think I should live up to, let alone what God thinks I should live up to. The very first thing happens in spiritual awareness is I become aware that I'm not even good enough to meet my own approval, let alone God's. And so God meets me in that sense of deficit, and he says, son, you're right. You aren't good enough, but I forgive you. You hear this, church? Salvation is God brings to life my spiritual awareness. I become aware that I'm a sinner, and God says to me in that awareness, you're right, you are, but I forgive you. Church. Then I have a change in my thinking. Salvation changes the way I think. See, before God does this good work in me, I have this sense that I'm really not so bad and God is really too strict. Anybody ever had that sense? God, you need to lighten up a little bit. You're just a little too strict. I'm not bad. That kid who shot up the school, he's bad. I'm not bad. When God does his saving work in me, I become aware intensely aware that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I stop comparing myself to the worst, and I start comparing myself to the glory of God. And I change my thinking, and I say, I'm not what I should be. I become discontent with settling for the person that I have been. New spiritual awareness, forgiveness of sin, a change in my thinking, and listen, then because my thinking changes, my behavior changes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Listen, listen. Old things have passed away. All things are becoming new. When God regenerates my soul, I start changing the patterns of my behavior. I start aligning my life with God in a way I never have before. And finally, salvation is called in the Bible, in the New Testament, often by Jesus himself, it gets translated eternal life. I've told you before, I don't like that to translation because it makes you only think of time. When you think you have eternal life, you think that means I'm going to live forever. But really what the text says is you have the life of the ages. That is about a quality of life, not just a length of life. To live forever as a broken, ugly person doesn't look enticing to me. To be a jerk for the next 10 million years does not seem appealing to me. I'm tired of it after 64 years. I don't need 64 million years of it. Salvation is not just about the length of life, it's about the quality of life. The life of the ages is a quality of life that is so rich, so good, so meaningful that it's attractive. Church, do you see? So listen to what God is saying. There's something inadequate in me, and it causes me to be the kind of person that I don't even want to be. And then Christ does something for me. He brings my spiritual awareness to life. He forgives my sins. He helps me think in a different way. Thinking in a different way leads to different behaviors. And then God says, and part of all of this is, I'm going to give you a quality of life that you're going to love through the ages of the ages of the ages. And that's what Christian salvation is, church. That's what it means to be saved. So how am I saved? This is what Paul says. It is a gift of God. In Christ, God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Please hear me. You can't save yourself. You can't make yourself spiritually aware. You can't forgive your own sins. You can't change your thinking. You can't change your behavior. You can't create the life of the ages. You can't do it, and I can't do it. But God can. And he gives it to us as a gift. The divine quality in God that causes him to do this is grace. God treats us better than we deserve. He works the changes of salvation in us by his Spirit. Do you get this? By grace, you are saved. Something in the heart of God is so rich, so beautiful, so noble, that he says, I can't bear for you to be wasted. And so I'm going to give you the gift of salvation. Church? And he says the way you're going to experience this is you're going to have a rising sense of trust in God. That's what faith is. A rising sense of trust. Church? God said, I'm going to treat you better than what you deserve and give you the gift of salvation. What you're going to experience is a rising sense of trust in the goodness, the grace, the kindness, the faithfulness of God. Church, I know you don't bring your Bible, so please put the verse up again, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. English teachers, help me here. Have been changes the verb to passive. It doesn't say, by grace you saved yourself. By grace you chose to be saved. Listen to what it says. By grace you have already been saved. You see, God did the work, not you. Do you get it? Everyone here tonight who is genuinely saved, it's because God did something in you, not because you did something. Can we agree on that? By grace, you have already been saved. And what you experience is the gift of faith, this rising sense of trust in God. God is the active agent. We are the passive recipients. God gives me the gift. Do you see? Then Paul goes on to say, we like that in the beginning of our Christian life. We really like the idea of God giving us a gift. But the longer we are Christians, the more we want to change all of this. And we want to give ourselves some credit. And so Paul says, verse 9, not from works, in order that no one can boast. Do you see? Grace excludes you earning your salvation in any way. If you think you're earning it, you're out on grace. Grace means treating you better than what you earned. See, when God saved me, he treated me better than what I had earned. I hadn't earned that. Who here is going to say, I'm such an awesome person, Christ should have died for me. It was right for him to do that. I say just the opposite. If God ever made a mistake, it was crucifying Christ for a jerk like me. Church, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't a good deal. God got a raw deal. He crucified Christ to get me. Church, that's grace. That's grace. Grace means undeserved. Works means earned. If you think you in some way earned your salvation, it means there's no grace in it. Grace means you didn't earn it. Grace means gift. Works means wages. If you think God paid you off for being a good person by saving you, you have totally misunderstood the whole process. Church? Religious arrogance originates in a sense that I made the right choice and you didn't, I'm better than you. Do you hear this, church? Do you know why I'm a Christian tonight and there are pagans out there who have no interest in God? Because God has done something for me that he hasn't done for them yet. There is no difference. It's all the work of God, church. Can you hear me? If you don't believe that, then spiritual arrogance begins to creep in. Why did you choose God and they didn't? Because there's something innately better in you than them. And I say just the opposite. The difference is God did something better for me than he's done for them yet. We don't know who God is going to call home, do we? The Pharisees prided themselves in the good works that they believe elevated them above others. In the 35 years I've led this church, I've had more problems with people who thought they were better than other people than sinners who knew they were a mess. Can you hear this? I've had more problems with people who said, I am better. The Pharisee spirit. Doc, I come to Saturday night service every week. I never miss. You missed last week. I did. But Chet did a great job, didn't he? Huh? Aren't we proud of that guy? I love that guy. Church, the Pharisees believed God owed them something because they were such wonderful people. And I've seen Pharisees in the church my whole life. Can I remind you that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble? I want to be humble enough to say the only thing that makes me better is Christ has done something wonderful in my life. I want to be humble enough to say I didn't deserve what Christ did for me, church, because God gives more grace to the humble. But he says to the proud, you don't get it. Church, you cannot earn your salvation. One more time. You cannot earn your salvation. It's a gift. And that's what kind of makes it hard. Because for some of us, it's hard to receive a gift, isn't it? I would rather give a gift than get a gift. Anybody else? I feel a lot better giving something to someone than getting something. Kind of whacks me out when I get too good of a gift. I don't know what to do. I feel like I didn't deserve it, or anybody else? Come on, I can't be the only. All right, thank you. I read an article this week by April Julson, and she said two secrets to receiving gifts. One, take the attention off yourself. It's not about you. This kind person loves you and wanted you to have something. It doesn't matter if you ask for it. It doesn't matter if you think you deserve it. What matters is that you honor the person that gifted it to you. I like that, don't you? I want to put that right into this verse. How do you receive the gift of salvation? You say, it's not about me. It's about Christ who loves me and wanted me to have something I couldn't get without him. It doesn't matter. Hey, it doesn't matter if I ask for it. It doesn't matter if I think I deserve it. What matters is that I honor the Christ who gave everything to give me this gift. Do you hear me, church? If you're going to receive the gift, it's not about you. It's about Christ, the giver of the gift. The second, the second way, say thank you and feel the warmth and gratitude in your heart. Really. That person wanted you to have the gift. They wanted to give you something because they love you. Don't focus on the gift. Don't think about whether you purchase something comparable. Don't think about whether they can afford it. Don't think about whether or not you deserve it. Don't feel inadequate for the gift. Just say, thank you. Church, I want to stop second-guessing God. God said, Dave, I want to give you something. You can't get this by yourself. And I just want to say, God, thank you. Thank you. I so much appreciate this. How kind of you. How marvelous of you. You see? That way, God is glorified in our salvation. If I earn my salvation, I'm glorified. Hey, God, aren't you lucky to have me? I earned it. When it's a gift, I go, oh, God, I'm so thankful. How kind you were to give me this gift. How much I appreciate you. How thoughtful of you. Church? And then it becomes about God. Because ironically, the Psalms say salvation belongs to the Lord. Did you hear that? Salvation belongs to the Lord. And out of the great grace of his heart, he gives us a gift. Why does he do this? Is anybody interested in why? Well, he tells us in verse 10. We are his workmanship. This is a participle, an ongoing action. I am in the ongoing experience of being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. See, good works is part of this, but it's after salvation, not before. It is my response to the gift. It is not my way of earning the gift. We are his workmanship. The work of salvation is God's, not ours. You see, God made me something I couldn't be without him. That was his work. Being created in Christ Jesus, the work is a creative work. God is recreating us into someone so much better than we could have ever been without him. Divine creativity makes us competent to accomplish the good work he designed for us to accomplish. God saved us to do good work, not because of our good work. You see? God saved me to make me his partner. I didn't make myself his partner, and then he saved me. Every day becomes an adventure in walking around with God and seizing the opportunities to do good and accomplish our life purpose. Do you see this? God saved us so that every day we could get up and say to God, hey, God, what are we going to do together today? Dear God, what good work can I do in my home? Dear God, what good work can I do for you at work today? Dear God, what good work can I do when I run into people? How can I partner with you in life and do the stuff that you created me to do with you? I love that idea of Christianity. I hate the idea that I've got these 25 duties that I have to do, and if I don't get them done, God is going to be ticked off with me. I hate that idea. I love this idea that every day is an unknown adventure with God. I get up and say, dear God, help me to love my wife today the way you want her to be loved. Dear God, help me in some way to partner with you at work so I can work with you and make my workplace a better place. Help me to work with you so we will try stuff we would never dreamed of trying without God. Do you hear me, church? God saved me to invite me into and make me competent to live this adventure with him. Kafka dreamed of a nightmare metamorphosis. I dream of a Christian metamorphosis. I don't have a nightmare that I'm going to wake up as a cockroach. I have a dream that through the saving work of Christ, one day I'm going to wake up in the image of Jesus Christ himself. Church, I'm going to wake up in the image of Jesus Christ himself. I don't expect to look like that. But there's something about who he is that he's metamorphosizing me into his image. And he begins to do that work in salvation. Church, can you believe this? God loves you so much, he's going to work in you and make you like his own beloved son, Jesus Christ. That is saving grace. Our dear Heavenly Father, how remarkable you are. How absolutely remarkable you are. I'm stunned again. You give me a gift that I don't in any way deserve. You give the people who are here tonight a gift that none of us have earned. And then after you give us this gift, you say every day, why don't you hang around with me? We'll do some awesome stuff together. And because you invite me into the awesome things you're going to do, I'm stunned again. I receive your gift and say thank you. Thank you so much. I hear your call and I say, help me to walk with you. And I pray the same thing for my brothers and sisters who are here tonight. And I ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.